Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. Well, we're out in the other room and someone already has called him the legend. So, I just did on the air, so I guess we'll call him the legend, Ed Nass. Ed is a former instructor of industrial education technology here at Morehead State who has worked in the press box for football and Jane Stadium and even before that for 50 years. And Ed, thanks for coming over and joining us today on The Front Page.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, Ed, why do you keep doing it? That's the one thing. I said 50 years of climbing up and down all those steps, a young guy like yourself, I thought maybe you'd have better things to do by now.
I guess it's just one of those things that got in my blood, and I just, you know, the camaraderie of the folks and just the atmosphere of, you know, the folks for the, you know, for the team and just and I just, you know, I loved sports, so it was an easy thing. But I didn't, if in fact it occurred to me, I think last week sometime or something after we talked, that Jason hadn't mentioned it, oh, some 3, 4, 5 years back, whatever it was, about, you know, what year it was, I honestly wasn't keeping track. I was not, you know.
You're talking about Jason Blanton, my partner on the air for the football games, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, he'd say, what is it this time? And the first time I told him, it about knocked me for a loop because I think it was like 43 or 45. And that was the first time I got any reflection on myself in thinking that I had been doing it that long.
Yeah, did it kind of weird you out a little bit?
You know, it was like you had the grasp of something, but you let it get away from you, and you couldn't figure out why you still didn't have it. And I couldn't figure out why all of a sudden that was so shocking to me to know that I'd been doing it for that long at that particular point in time.
Well, now you are a spotter up in the press box, and I guess you're doing defensive spotting. Is that right? Now, that's what you've been doing here for the last few years.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but you probably have done some other things over the 50 years, right? Maybe talk about that. What else have you done?
Oh, gosh. There was back a time when we had to do everything by hand, and all of these nice stats that people get now on the printouts from the computer, those were all hand labor. And to make our copies, we had to use either the mimeograph system or the old blue ink liquid system, the Spirit Master or the Ditto system, whatever.
Oh,
it was.
Yeah, I remember the old Dittos. Because my mom used to do that because she was a teacher.
Yeah. And so at the end of the game, we had to get all those ready, and then we had to run those off by hand. And it wasn't a problem. I mean, I wasn't upset with it because that's pretty much what I did in class, too. I taught those media areas, and so I was used to it. But it was the years they got away from me that so I must have been having fun.
Yeah. Well, 1963, you come to the Morehead State campus as a teacher, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
And how did you wind up working in the press box for football games?
Basically, it was kind of strange because what had happened the year that I started, I had come back from academic leave. I had taken the year off and went back for additional schooling. And so when I came back, a lot of the folks in the press box were still there that were there when I left. And when I came up and I sat down in my stadium seat, I think it was Martin Huffman, who was pretty much the go-to guy for organizing the staff for the press box. He motioned me on in, and we got to talking about coming back to school, and the game was about to start. And I just, he just said, you know, you could stay there, just sit there. And we got to talking. And about halfway through the game, Keith Capus, who was the SID then, in that period of time, said, would you like to do this regularly? And I said, I'd love to. I said, what's the condition? What do I have to do or anything? He said, nothing. He said, just show up every week. And so that's how I got into it. And then also at that time, we were keeping different stats at the mid-major area than the Division I was. And so we were going to play Ohio U up at Athens. And so they needed a group that could travel that weekend to go up there. And I didn't have any commitments, so I traveled up there, and that was my first introduction to doing stats off campus. And that was kind of interesting.
You do this as a volunteer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously you have a lot of fun doing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's fun about it for you?
Well, like I say, I think the camaraderie, as a high school student going to ball games regular, then as a college student going to ball games regular, even traveling with the games when I was a college student, I probably saw 10% of the activity and the action and missed 90% of it because I didn't have a focus and didn't have to concentrate. So when I got up and I had to call the defensive stat for a tackle or a broken up pass or a fumble recovery or caused a fumble, then I had to be, you know, focused on that. Whereas if I'm just with a group of people sitting in the stands, you know, we're lollygagging, we're carrying on, we're enjoying the excitement of the game.
Oh, you bring up a really good point, Ed. There's a big difference between, just say, watching a game and working a game, which you do.
Yeah. See, the working part came in, which made me focus more, because if they needed to know who caused that fumble and who recovered it, then I couldn't be off in hitherland, you know, talking about some jazz band or some activity on campus that was pretty good that I went to or something like that. So my main focus then was on me watching the game and what happened.
Did you have to develop that focus? Because I'm sure that at times you wanted to turn to somebody and say, hey, blah, 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 or, you know, just maybe carry on a conversation. Or did that just sort of evolve naturally?
I think it just came naturally because I took it serious, you know.
Didn't want to screw up.
No, I mean, you know, with the dollars I made in 50 years, won't get you a cup of coffee at, Starbucks or any place like that. So, you know, I did. I really took it serious. And people said, why do you do it? You don't get anything for it. I said, I get the inner pleasure. That was what I thought was important. That, you know, like I say, the camaraderie, the excitement, the statistics is not a joke. It's very important to the life of sports.
Well, it's important to the coaches, too, who use those to do charting and things of other natures with their players. So, I mean, and it's important to the people who follow the games, obviously. I imagine, you know, when you talk about from the 60s and now till 2017, this past football season, you've seen some amazing changes in a lot of things, especially in the sport itself. Maybe if you would talk about the top one or two changes that you have witnessed.
Well, in me personally, I probably saw more of the historical moments that Moorhead has completed and committed during their football tenure. If I hadn't been in the press box doing what I was doing, I probably would have missed all the 100-plus kickoff returns or all the 99-yard punt returns and stuff like that because, you know, I'd have been, you know, lollygagging, you know, with the group around me and would be more into, you know, just general kidding around or just, you know, just relaxing and enjoying the game, not from the idea of looking at it specifically for what event just took pass.
And is the game itself a lot different?
Yeah, I think a little bit. And this just may be me, but it seems like it's moving slower. I don't see the zip and zap that I remember. It's more like it's a calculation kind of thing. Like there's a lot more. Some people I've heard other people say this that there seems to be more finesse, more thinking in it. You know, everybody's trying to outthink everybody else as to what the next play is going to be. You know, and that comes from the coaching staff wanting to make sure the defense is where they're supposed to be in position, and the offense is running the right play for the defense that they're going to be facing. You know, when they run the play, and then I don't know if they ever did it, but over the years I could remember these improvements in the football, either making it a little less pudgy, but more slimming it down. So when the quarterback passed, he was throwing more like a missile rather than a basketball kind of ball called a football.
Players have changed, though, too. They're probably a lot bigger than what they used to be, aren't they? Or are they about the same for you?
Here at Moorhead, it comes and goes. They're like this year, I thought we had a very young-looking, a very lean group of people. You know, they were good, they were fast. You know, I guess the expression is lean and mean. But there have been other years that we've had people that look like they should have been qualified or they should have been drafted by the pros. And in fact, I could remember in particular, we had one fella, and you might recall his name. It's not coming to me, but went to the Detroit Lions as a offensive lineman, and he made it because he had the muscle and everything. And then we had that young man that came a few years later. His nickname was Honey Bear. You might have been calling the game when he was here.
Well, I started in 1986, and so I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure exactly the time period you're talking about. But
that's with me.
And I know that obviously you had a chance to see some of the great players that were here. And I think back, of course, the first name that comes to mind is Phil Sims,
yeah,
who played here in the 70s. And you see some of the old films of him, brief films of him, and you see some still photography and some old media guides. But you actually had a chance to see him play and got a chance to watch him perform. What are your thoughts about Phil Sims as a player?
He was good. I think he everything he earned after college he had to work hard at it, because he was not a bundle of weight. You know, he was in fact now when I hear people 6'5", 6'7", 355 pounds, 365 pounds as a quarterback, you know, I think back to the Unitas and the lean and thin types of quarterbacks we had. They were tall, but they were very lean, but they had the throwing ability, they had the control of the ball and everything. And I don't know if they're looking for that today, but it's different. And the equipment, when I see the what it takes to outfit a ball player today, I basically go back to my introduction to football was you had a leather helmet on, and then other than the clothing over your body, that was pretty much it. And then they wondered why, you know, all of a sudden we're conscious of concussions today. Well, those guys back there, they played hurt and, you know, just in terrible pain. Because I remember one year I followed the pros and I was following the Packers because of a book that one of them had written, a pocketbook. And I couldn't believe the agony and the fear that it seemed like was in the writing of the book, because somebody playing with two casts on an arm or not knowing for sure whether they had a concussion or not and shouldn't be playing, but that was 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. I mean, that was the way the pros did. And I can remember a lot of times even at the high school level, students talking about playing hurt because they had to, because there was nobody to, you know, to back them up or to take their place.
Again, our guest on the front page is Ed Nass, retired MSU instructor of instructional education technology, industrial education technology. And Ed has worked in the press box at the football stadium here on the Morehead State campus for 50 years. He currently does some spotting, and we're going to go ahead and take a break on front page, come back with more in just a moment.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's front page. Again, I'm Chuck Moraz. Ed Nass is our guest. Ed, a retired instructor for industrial education technology here on the MSU campus. He retired back in 2004, but since the 60s, and now he just finished his 50th year of working in the press box at the football stadium. And what I kind of find is sort of cool, Ed, is that you remember when Jane Stadium was new.
Yeah.
What was that like? I mean, from what I understand, it was a big deal when that place opened.
Yeah. The first thought was, having been in an area where so much construction was done with sandstone, and in one particular place I remember going to was when I was in Missouri and went to the state prison in Jefferson City. It was all that kind of workmanship that the original Jane Stadium was, and I thought. Is this place doubling as a detention center in the off season and a football stadium in the football season? Because that was the way things were back there that period of time with the construction, and I thought that was kind of interesting. And then when they built Breathitt and the new stadium down there, that was really different than what we had had. Just like the original Laughlin for basketball, and to have the new facility that we've got now with for basketball and volleyball and everything, it tells you things do change. People say, "Yeah, it's always what it's been," but if you wait long enough, it's going to come around and change.
I was kind of curious. We talk about memories, and I was thinking of the movie We Are Marshall. And, of course, it details the plane crash that killed just about the entire Marshall football team except for a couple of injured players and a coach who had driven back home from a game. And the rest of their season in 1970 was wiped out, and they rebuilt their team and played basically with freshmen, which was unheard of at the time back in 1971. And I think their first game coming back as a program was at Morehead State. I'm wondering, did you work that game?
I guess I did.
Did you think anything of it? I mean, was it just another game in some ways for you? It's like we're playing Marshall, and I've got a job to do.
It was a little solemn. I guess for some reason, or not even planning on it, I think I tried to separate my mental thinking from what had been to what was now at the time. And I never thought of myself as being that good of a person that could change, or that personality shift or anything like that. Because I could remember we played, can't remember what it was particularly called, but I remember going to Ashland over the years. I don't remember what period of time or what number of years, and for whatever the benefit was or for whatever the activity was, we played Marshall at Ashland at the Ashland High School Stadium. And And that was rather interesting.
Old Putnam Stadium.
Yeah, the old Putnam Stadium. And I was for the flap that I'd heard about the stadium, it was nice. It had all its qualities, but also what the years had done to it as far as deterioration. I think they had a lot of mortar problems with the stonework, and I think they had plumbing problems with water and things like that. But that was an awakening situation too. That you don't know how good you got it until you go somewhere else and see what somebody else has or doesn't have.
We got a few minutes left, and I was going to ask you this in terms of changes over the years. And people talk about how back in the day, and then sometimes our memories have a tendency to be scrubbed and sanitized by time. But they say, oh, back in the day, you know, we had a lot more school spirit back then, and crowds were more enthusiastic, and crowds were bigger back in the old days. And, you know, if you go back in the 60s and 70s, was that the case here at Morehead State, or is it about the same as it was?
Pretty much the same as it was. The team spirit was always there, but it was never an overwhelming kind of thing. One of the hardest things to adjust to from coming from schools that even as high schools and even as college student, everybody was excited for the games. They couldn't wait. The excitement on campus on a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday didn't look any different whether it was a ball game or not. And then to come here and see the mass migration of students from campus to go back home, and somebody said a lot of the students have to work to maintain their financial cost to go to school, so they go home. But when you talk to the students that were leaving, one of the big things that they said was that they were going home and they were going to their football game at their high school. And I said, well, why? I said, you're a college student now. And they said, well, I just like things better at home. And plus, I can take my laundry home, and Mom does my laundry. And
there you go.
And I get my good mom cooked meals and stuff like that. But the fun I had, in fact, I've talked this over with my kid's stepfather. And one of the things that we've discussed about our college days in comparing was that the dormitory life and living on campus was the real key to enjoying college. In fact, I think in some ways that's one of the things that made me a better person because I didn't take a lot of flack mean and ornery flack, but I took flack because of where I originated from. I even had teachers in the classroom make comments of, and they'd always, in saying my name, they would sometimes make an emphasis of it. And I remember one English lit and English composition teacher always reflecting on me when he called on me, he was about to call on me, about the man who comes from the city that the dirt in the gutters glitters like gold. And then he would make some reference.
Which city was in?
This was New Orleans.
Okay.
And he said, then he would say, and how is that gold on Bourbon Street? And I said, I haven't been there for a while, but I guess it's still there.
Ed, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for spending time with us today on the front page, and we hope you've got another 50 years in you in the press box.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you inviting me. I never thought this was, that big of a thing. I don't rate, where I do or what I go to, but I feel real honored that you all feel like it's something that's worth talking about. So I appreciate it.
Again, that's Mr. Ed Nass, veteran of the Jane Stadium press box. You can find him there on football game day if you just look up behind you. I'm Chuck Moraz, host of Front Page. We'll see you next time.